I thought it'd make a good opener there. I actually grew the beard as a visual aid for you, whether you like it or not. You don't have to tell me if you like it. I did get one compliment on it this morning, and this is the scrubby stage. This is always the hardest stage to break through. But at my wife's insistence, in my obedience to my wife, for better or for worse, richer or poorer, I told her I would, and I do. I'm following her incentive or lead here. Well, I'll let her grow for the month of February. And I hope that it will be a visual aid or a reminder to you, as I look at myself in the mirror from time to time, at least on a daily basis, and remind myself to step out of your comfort zone, to get out and do something different or new or something that you've put off. This month, if you have your bulletin, why don't you turn there with me? I want to introduce a new series. It's January, and we start officially next Sunday. I'd like to launch this morning with an introduction to what I'm pretty excited about. I think it's a neat thing that's happening in our community, countywide. And we're calling it the Bold Faith Initiative. Last summer, I was spending several days with a group of pastors. We meet on an annual basis, and we get together and we pray for one another. 3 days of prayer. We retreat. Group of guys that have met with for years here nearby retreat center. Some of you have been to the Kempsky Center over in Howe, Indiana, and we just spend 3 days praying. It's seldom that kind of opportunity, unless perhaps you're sick and laid up, that you can have that kind of concentrated time to pray. And in this case, in that context, with another group of fellow shepherds who are in the same game as I am, they understand what kind of pressure pastors feel or face, some of the temptations that are perhaps unique to those who are in the ministry, challenges, the discouragements that come on a regular basis. And so that's been a real significant investment of my annually of my time, is to take time to pray with these guys. We pray on a monthly basis as well, but every year we get together for 3 days. And out of that, one evening, one of the pastors, as we tend to do, was sharing what was going on with him and a book he was reading. And he said, you know, this book has really challenged me, specifically my faith, my ability to believe. That is to put my trust or reliance on God. And the book he was reading was by a pastor, his name escapes me, but the book was called Son, Stand Still. And it was focusing on what this pastor called audacious faith. And what would it take for someone to describe you as a Christian of audacious faith? Well, we took the word and we coined the word bold. We said, you know, that's kind of a neat idea. What would happen, we asked ourselves in this little circle of pastors, if we as pastors were to step up and live boldly, to live out our faith in a bold way? What would happen if large groups of believers, of Christians, like you and like me, were to determine, regardless of the circumstances, to step out in faith? Every situation and trust God. What would happen if the church of Branch County, just our county, this is a measurable group, 40,000 plus or minus people in our community, we call the county a community, what would happen if just the church were to stand up and say, we're going to be the church for a limited amount of time? What kind of changes, what kind of impact or influence could that have on our community and beyond? What would happen if our church, just our church, 200 people, 225 attenders, 160, I guess, 50 regular attenders, what would happen if just this small group were to determine for 1 month, just as an experiment, to step up and live by faith? And regardless of the situation or circumstance, to respond in bold faith. What would happen if you were to determine for the next 30 days, come what may, I'm going to trust God with everything I've got. I'm going to respond in every circumstance with bold faith. Well, that was the idea that came up. We amongst our smaller group of guys, 8-10 guys, embraced it, and we said, let's expand on this, let's go beyond, and this was a Coldwater ministerial group, let's throw it out to the county. And so we did. We started developing the idea, and it, at this point, has come to over half the churches in the county have agreed to sign on to what we're calling the Bold Faith Initiative. And for the month of February, what we are proposing is very simply this. Every one of us, the 23 pastors involved, are going to preach the same sermon. We're going to take the same text. Now, we're not going to say word for word the same thing. We're going to preach from the same point of Scripture, the same thing, each Sunday in the month of February. Simultaneously, we have written, and the pastors have kind of kicked in and shared this, a devotional for the month of February. You will get one in print or online next Sunday, beginning with next Monday, whatever that is, the 6th, I believe, of February, and going to the end of the month. We're inviting some 2,000 Christians to join us on a daily basis. Not only will they be hearing the same message on that Sunday prior, but they'll be reading every morning the same devotion. Written in the basis of the scripture that we studied that previous Sunday by one of the pastors in our community. We are ordering 2,200 bracelets. Anybody got one of those little rubber, hold your hands up there, you got a rubber bracelet on? We've got 2,200 bracelets coming that say Bold Faith. And we are asking the 23 churches to, you tell us how many you need. I think I ordered 150, something like that. Figuring we could commit to 150 of us wearing a green bracelet for 1 month that says Bold Faith. And that to be a reminder, personally, of what I'm doing, like my beard. Just think of my beard if you forget the bracelet. And as an incentive, if you see somebody with a bracelet, to step out of faith and say, hey, you got a bracelet on? You guys doing Bold Faith? What church do you go to? Outstanding. I didn't realize you were from that church or you're even a Christian. It's good to see you. Walmart, there in line or wherever it might be at work. And to say, hey, we're on the same team. What's your name? Because I want to remember to pray for you. What would happen if Branch County, in this small rural area, were to step up and say, we believe that God is bigger and we're willing to take Him and His Word face value by faith in a bold and courageous way. What would happen? Boy, we're going to find out. I'm in. I don't know about you, but I'm going to do my best as a salesman to sell you the idea to pick up a bracelet next Sunday to jump on board with us, to grab that devotional if it's out in the lobby or to read it online if you prefer on a daily basis. To pray for yourself and our church and our community, the Christians in Branch County, and some 2,000 plus people who simultaneously are determining to live by faith and not by sight. That's what I would, in a summary, describe as the Bold Faith Initiative. You've got a flyer that gives a little more detail, and on the back is a little bit of the idea as far as the bracelet. You'll also notice there is a website that you can go to already. We've already got it up. I don't know that the devotions are on there yet or will be until next week when we kick off. But there's information already for you to pick up on it. My challenge is that 150 of us at Bethel Gilead Community Church, measured by the bracelets we give out. Some are child sizes. I think I got like 30 or 40 children or youth, smaller, it's an inch smaller bracelet. And some are for us with a little bigger wrists. To pick one of those up and say, you know what, count me in. If you do, like my beard, the visual, I'm going to ask you to watch for ways that God is growing your faith. He's stretching your trust. He's moving in greater dependence or reliance on Him. And be ready to give evidence to the fact. That is, to say something to someone. If not, and I perhaps each week, I'd love to be able to, maybe not next Sunday, but the Sundays following, say, hey, who's had a bold faith experience? Who's had to take a step of faith? Or who's seen God work in a way that increased your faith this week? And for a number of people to stand up and say, let me tell you what happened to me and how I saw God answer my prayer. Bold faith. as we move into that mode here, edging into February, allow me this morning just to recap some basic concepts about what faith is. What exactly are we talking about when we use the word faith? And I've given you 3 points that I think are significant for you and I to remember biblically about what faith is. You've got your outline, why don't you go there with me? I'd like to suggest that faith is foundational. It's not supplemental, number one. Number two, that faith is objective. It's not subjective as much as we believe it is. Faith is objective. You need to know that. And then thirdly, that faith is dynamic, never static. Be careful here. It's active. First of all, faith is foundational. It is basic to our Christian life. Because we are saved, first of all, by faith. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Remember the verse? By grace you are saved through faith. It's the means by which we experience salvation. Experience it. Technically, we are saved through faith, aren't we? We use the word interchangeably, by faith. We're saved by God. He's the Savior. It's not your faith, per se. It's your faith in God that saves you. We are saved through faith. And that, not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. Not as a result of works, something you do or I do. It's not something you conjure up the capacity to believe. That, even in and of itself, is a product of God within my heart. We are saved by faith, but we're also told to live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, live by faith, not by sight. Aha! We're going to find in definition here in just a minute that faith has something to do with invisible things, not visible. Romans 1:17 says, the righteous will live by... You want to be right with God? It is impossible to be right with God if you don't trust Him. You cannot be right with God if you won't trust Him. You're out of sorts with God. Now listen, that's true of every relationship I know of. Trust is as basic as communication is to the health of any relationship. When trust is lost, when there's no trust, maybe you've experienced something similar in a close relationship, a family relationship, or with a friend. When trust is broken, technically, there really is no relationship or basis for it. It is basic to every relationship that you and I are involved in, the ability to trust. Is someone trustworthy? In this case, my relationship with God, what do you say? Can we trust Him? Boy, I'm banking eternity. I'm putting everything I've got on it. I'll risk my eternity on that one premise, that God is trustworthy. If He's not, if I'm wrong, I am destined for who knows what in the hereafter. And you are too. But I'm willing to put it all on the fact that I can trust God. That God and His Word is trust. Remember what Jesus said? Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. It is more foundational, sure, true, than anything else that exists in heaven and on earth. You can bank on it. Trust Him. The righteous will live by faith. Galatians 2:20 tells us, as Paul describes his own Christianity, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. God has come into my life through Jesus Christ. Then he says this. Here's what I mean by that. He says, the life I live in the body, and if you're alive, you're doing the same. You're embodied, your spirit is embodied in this shell. He says, the life I live in this shell and the body, I live by, next word, remember? Faith, trust, reliance, dependence on Him who died for me, Jesus Christ. We're saved by faith, we live by faith. Faith is fundamental, it's not supplemental. It is basic to you and my Christian life. Secondly, faith is objective. It's not subjective. Jesus, remember, told His disciples that. You only need a little bit of faith. How big a faith? Mustard seed size. But He got one of those on hand? That's all you need. It's not how big your faith is. It's how big what? your God is. Because faith is not subjective. It doesn't depend on the subject. It's objective. It depends on the one in whom you believe. I've got a great illustration for that this morning. How many of you have seen anybody on the ice as of late? Have you noticed those crazy fanatics? How many of you would be willing to edge out onto an inch and a half of ice to test the water? Not I, said the pig. I'll tell you what, those people have outstanding faith, don't they? Wow, what great believers they are. Those fishermen who are willing to get out on that kind of ice. Well, not necessarily. Maybe not. Maybe they know something you and I don't know. Maybe they know that 2 inches of ice will support 300 pounds. And before they go out, they get on the scale. And if I weigh in under 300, I'm good. You see? And you and I may have very little faith of an inch and a half or 2 inches of ice, but it'll hold you if you'll get out there on it. The contrast is also true. You can have all kinds of faith. A 350-pound person can really trust, I know it's going to hold me, it's holding them, and go out there and fall through. Why is that? Because the object of their faith could not support their weight. It's not how much faith. You may be just walking like this, just barely edging out there, you know, testing every step. The other guy comes walking straight out. Wow. Great faith? No, great object. It's 4 inches of ice on this lake there, guy. Or this is an ice rink, this arena. There's cement underneath. It's not going to hurt if you fall through. How big a faith? No, how big a God? It's the object that is significant. Not the subject, you and I. It's how great God is. Notice in your notes there, Hebrews 11, 1 and 6. Here's a memory verse. In fact, I'm going to publish 12, 15 verses on faith that I'm going to encourage you in the next month to commit to memory, just like our kids are doing. Let me give you a verse from Hebrews that I'm going to suggest every one of us learn if you haven't learned it already. Why don't you read it with me? It's under point 2 there. Faith is objective. Do you see it? Hebrews 11, 1 and 6. Let's read it together. Now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you cannot see. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Faith is being sure of what? Of what you're hoping for. That has to do. Hope has to do with the future. It's related to the future or future things. But it's also the certainty of things that we can't see. So it has to do with the present in terms of the invisible. In those two aspects of your life, you're going to need faith. Something that has yet to happen, or something that you cannot presently see, is going to require faith. The writer of Hebrews goes on to say, if you don't have that, you can't please God. He's not pleased with you and I. If we won't trust Him, again in terms of relationships, that's always true. Isn't it? That trust is what produces pleasure. Compliance in the relationship. If you don't trust Him, He says He won't be pleased. In fact, Romans 14:23 says everything that is not of faith is sin. Anytime that I don't trust God, I am, guess what? I'm doing wrong. I'm sinning against God by not trusting Him. How often would we have to confess sin in that respect? Because of our lack of trust. It was the primary thing that Jesus exhorted His disciples for. What happened to your faith? Numerous times where He had to turn and challenge His own disciples. Why didn't you believe? Oh, ye of little faith. That's one word in the Greek. Oh, ye of little faith. We translate that as a phrase. It's really only one word, oligopistos. I remember that from seminary, oligopistos. And it literally means this, oligo, little, pistos, believers, faiths. Oligopistos, you want to call somebody a bad name? You're just an oligopistos. What in the world is that? Look it up in a Greek lexicon. It means little faith. And Jesus told his disciples occasionally, oligopistos. Oligopistos, little faith. You're not trusting me. You don't believe in me. What happened to your faith? Because he is fully trustworthy. One more passage of scripture there. You'll notice Romans 10, verse 17. That faith comes from where? How do I get this faith? How do I develop faith? The capacity to trust. The Bible says it comes by hearing. And hearing what? Not the word of Jim. Not my message this morning. That ultimately is going to generate faith. Well, Irwin said, therefore I know. It's what God says. That's why we always have to go back to the basis of our belief. The foundation is Scripture. God says it, I believe it, that settles it. Attitude. Comes right out of this, the foundation. Who God is as He's revealed Himself to us in the Word. Faith is foundational, it's not supplemental. It is objective, not subjective. And finally, it is dynamic, not static. Remember, James says, you show me your faith without works, I'll show you my faith by what? By what I do. Because like the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. What does that mean? It means that faith is more a verb than a noun. We use it most of the time as a noun, don't we? But it really is more an active word than it is a descriptive word like a noun. Because faith is dynamic. It's not static. The disciples turned to Jesus at one point and they said, Lord, increase our faith. Help us to believe. And I'm going to suggest to you, and you've got it there in your notes under point three, that you can develop your faith, your capacity to believe, by exercising it. Just like a muscle. Anybody getting flabby? Anybody got some muscles you didn't know you had until you went out in the yard, done some yard work, and you came in and you forgot about those muscles, didn't you? Anybody go to do something they used to do and maybe or put something on they used to wear? Boy, we're getting a little flabby here. My faith is like a muscle. It grows with exercise. It also attritions without it. And some of your faith may be growing flabby because you're not exercising it. Very simply. I got an email this week from a guy named Trent Merricks. Technically, we should call him Dr. Merricks. He's a doctor in philosophy from Notre Dame. Great, great guy. He's about my age, a little younger. I met Trent years ago when he was a college student from Ohio State. In Argentina, summer missions project. Neat guy, just a great kid at that time, if I could have called him a kid. And he told me when he came to Argentina, he says, Erwin, he says, I am praying that God will strengthen my faith this summer. He says, what I really want to see happen is I want to grow in my faith. When I come back to America from Argentina, he says, I want to be stronger in my faith. And I was kind of listening to him as I was thinking there. We were in a little burg called Monteros in Tucumán. You know where Monteros is, Deborah, just south of where you live. Little pueblo there. And they happen to have, once a week, a feria, which is a street market. They close down a street market, and they set up stands, and people bring their stuff to sell. You know, from the country, from the backwoods and out and about, they'll bring everything that they brought, their produce and little animals and things, and they'll set up a stand, open market, the feria. And I remember that the feria was that day, whether it was a Wednesday, let's say. And I said, as Trent is talking to me, my mind's thinking, how can we help this guy increase his faith? How can we help this guy's faith grow? I said, not a problem, Trent. I said, I tell you what, you're up. Today we're going to the market. And you're going to do some open-air preaching. I could see his pressure drop in his face as he gulped. You know what? I said, never mind. You're going to see how God's going to use you. And your faith is going to grow. So I grabbed him, and I grabbed a guy named Aaron Gonzalez, who is a Mexican-American, another excellent guy that was working with us down there in Argentina. I said, let's go to the market. It's at noon, full house. I mean, it's just crowded as can be, and people are buying and selling. You know, you've seen those scenes at Third World Marketplace, where they convert a street into a market. And so we took a box. We found this wood box, and we put it out in the middle of the street. And Trent, the whole time, was going, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I said, you just be ready to share the Word of God. This guy was a minor in Spanish. His Spanish was pretty good. It really was. Very capacious as far as his brain. He was PhD in philosophy. How many people can do that? So I said, hang on. I got up on this crate. I clapped my hands. And in Spanish, I yelled out. You know, I got everybody's attention by clapping my hands. And, of course, somebody standing on a box in the middle of the street. People, what's going on? What's going on? I said, hey, everybody. I said, we have a guest from the United States of America. And he has a message he'd like to give you from America. And as you can imagine, the curiosity of the people, what? You know, this American here in our little pueblo. And they all gathered around. What's this guy going to do? And I got off the platform. I said, you're up. Start preaching. Do you think that would take faith? He had no message prepared. He wasn't ready for that. Well, it didn't matter how big his faith was. What mattered is if God would answer a prayer and come through on his behalf. Aaron and I stepped back to watch this thing, you know, and this guy was quick. He was very smart, quick-witted, and he was good in Spanish. So I had some fair amount of confidence he could do this, but it was going to take some guts. And he got up on that box, and you could see that box just moving. His knees were shaking. There was no pulpit to hide behind. Right there, and these people, he had 100% attention. All these people had stopped their buying and selling to hear what Trent had to say. And my buddy Aaron, standing back there, was a kind of a jokester, and he slapped me on the back. He says, praise the Lord. He says, look at the Holy Spirit is vibrating through his legs. Now the question. You want to see your faith grow? Or are you okay just as it is? I'm going to suggest in the second hour here today that complacency is the number one problem we have in the church. And if you're complacent, oh, we're comfortable just the way things are, I guarantee your faith isn't going to grow. Probably it'll attrition because you're not practicing. You're not exercising that muscle. In order for that to happen, you have to get out of what we call our comfort zone. You're going to get into some situations. You pray for faith to grow, God's going to set you up, I guarantee it, where you're going to have to step out and trust God. Not knowing what's going to happen. Because faith is being sure of what we hope for. Boy, I hope this one comes out. We'll find out. And certain of what we cannot see. At the moment, I don't see very well. So by faith, God, I'm stepping out. I'm acting. And I'm trusting you to back me up. Hey, Bethel Gilead, that's what I'm asking you to do. To join with me and 20-some other churches in our community for the next month and say, God, we'll trust you. We're willing to step out in faith. Bold faith. Courageous commitment. We're going to get out of the box if necessary. And we're going to speak out. Or we're going to do as you lead things that we wouldn't normally do. We wouldn't naturally do. In fact, it may even be a supernatural experience because we're walking by faith. Not by sight. Let me reiterate in closing the commitment that I'm asking you to make. It's a challenge for bold faith. We'll pick up here next week and we're going to kick off. Heads up. Here's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for people, number one, to commit themselves to walk by faith during the month of February. Try it if you're not sure. Number two, to read the daily devotional, to commit to read every day, Monday through Friday, the devotional that's based on the scripture that we'll be preaching. And to look for ways to apply it to your life as you do. Thirdly, you've got to pray. I've got to pray. We've got to ask God to help us and trust Him for the results. Pray for yourself. Pray for our church. Pray for the church of Branch County. Believers throughout the county. That God would come to the rescue if necessary and work on our behalf. and that for His glory. Number four, heads up. Get ready, because God is going to test your faith and your muscle rather than attrition, and it's going to grow. Step out in faith. Look for opportunities. Ways that God might be answering your prayer as you ask Him to increase, like those disciples of old, your faith. Number five, I'm going to ask you to buy a band. We got them for 25 cents a piece. We're selling them for 50 cents a piece. The reason is because we put $450 into an ad. You're going to see it on the third page of the shopper's guide this Wednesday. You see the paratroopers on the doors there this morning? That ad will be in the shopper's guide. We're going to publish every church in the county that's in. I'm kind of hoping to create a little holy jealousy, if we can call that. If somebody's church is not in, I'm kind of hoping that that guy's going to go to his pastor, because there's almost as many churches that are not in, and say, "Hey, pastor, how's come we're not on board with this?" And maybe prod that guy to say, "Well, we probably should be. We're getting in late, but we're going to jump in the mix, and we'll add their church to the list." Small deal. However, it, in my opinion, is substantial or significant to say, look how many churches, pastors, believers. We figure about 2,000 are banding together here to see God work in and through us. Get a bracelet. So we're going to pay for that ad by doubling the cost of the bracelet. 50 cents. We'll probably sell them two for a buck. That sounds like a good deal to you. And so you can pick up one for a friend or one for a family member. And wear it. Stick it on. You wear long sleeves this time of year, put it on top of your sleeve. I dare you. Stick it on a necklace around your neck. And when people ask you, guess what that is? The soapbox. Get up there. Share your faith with them. You know what we're doing at church? It's kind of an experiment. We call it bold faith. You have faith in God? You believe in God? That's good. What do you believe about God? Let me tell you what I'm learning about God. And it's my turn to preach my message, to share my faith. Wear the bracelet. It's a reminder for you to pray every day. Keep it on. When you see that bracelet at any point, say, "God, increase my faith. I want to represent you. I'm willing to trust you if you'll help me." And I think God loves to answer those kinds of prayers. It's a witness, as I said, to other people. It's also an opportunity for you to identify Christians in the community. "Hey, you got a green bracelet on. What church you go to? You guys doing the bold faith?" "Yeah, us too. How's it going for you?" In fact, the final act, if I can use that word, the last Sunday of February, we're going to meet at the cafetorium in Coldwater. We asked the school there to give us their cafetorium. We're inviting Christians from those 20-plus churches to get together at 5 o'clock that evening. Some churches have an evening gig, 6, 7 o'clock service. We're meeting at 5. Come on in, and we're just going to let people share. We're going to open up the mic, we'll do some singing, and we're going to have some testimonies. What did you see God do in your life? What happened as a result of your willingness to trust? Maybe someone here would have something to say to the rest of the Christian community about ways that they saw God honor their faith. So there's the challenge, the commitment to you and I, is to get on board. Next Sunday, I'm going to ask for a decision. Are you in? If you are, I want you to stand. We'll have a wristband for you in the lobby as you go. Marching orders. You've got a week to pray about it and consider. If you're gone strategically next Sunday, I will badger you. Take note of who's here or who's not. Looks like we've got a fair amount of people gone this morning. We'll give them a week's leave here. And as a church, as a body, let's step up and trust God for bigger things, things that He alone can do. Simple song is an invitation to the Spirit. Holy Spirit, fill me. Spirit of the living God. Why don't we make that our prayer as we close this morning? Because ultimately, it's not out of the flesh, it's not my efforts, but God's work in and through me. Through His Spirit, that's going to make a difference. You know the song. You can look it up if you need to, 247, or I think we may have it for the board there. But why don't you join me this morning, and let's make that a prayer song as we close.